Lake Effect Weekend continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. One of the most recognizable stories about Jewish experience is the musical Fiddler on the Roof. The story of Tevye, a milkman, and his family and friends opened on Broadway in 1964, and it's seldom been out of production somewhere in the world since then. But what is it that makes the show so timeless and universal? The new documentary Fiddler, Miracle of Miracles, looks at the origin and evolution of this classic musical and what it took to make it the success it continues to be 55 years after its Broadway debut. The documentary will be showing in Milwaukee this Sunday as part of the Milwaukee Jewish Film Festival. Ahead of it, film contributor Dave Lurson joined Audrey Nowakowski in the studio to talk about it.
One of the world's most recognized fictional characters is a Jewish milkman from a tiny village in pre-revolutionary Russia. Tevye, a recurring figure in the short stories of Yiddish author Sholem Aleichem, danced his way into American popular culture as the protagonist of the Broadway musical Fiddler on the Roof. From there, he reached the writer world through a popular film that etched the story's characters and songs in memory.
What do you think makes Fiddler on the Roof that quintessentially Jewish musical that speaks to everyone, even if they're not Jewish?
I think it's because everyone comes from a family. Some people from loving families that have dissent within the families, which would be more in line with the portrayal in the movie. Virtually everyone came to America from somewhere, except for Native Americans, of course. The conflict between tradition, whatever that means to you, and the demands of the modern world, how to retain what's important, how to change with the times, is something that all of us have faced, I think. I think the movie succeeds very well in speaking beyond the core audience. And what I found interesting in the documentary, Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles, is the doubtful attitude of many on Broadway toward the success of this movie in 1964. Oh, it'll maybe pack a couple of nights in the hall with Jewish Americans, and it doesn't have enough resonance. It doesn't speak to enough people. But that has proven to be totally wrong. It speaks to a great many people. I think, again, one of the important things, remarkable things about it as a musical and then later on as a film was the ability of the authors of this to take very serious and dark material and still make it entertaining. Even in the darkest moments, this is somehow entertaining. It's not a plunge into depression of any kind. You still have the lilt of it. Maybe it's the music, the rhythm of the whole thing carries the audience along.
I remember watching it when I was younger and just feeling uncomfortable, like,
really?
During some scenes. Yeah, just in particular, I'm sure it was like the transitional scene is just like a big, empty, barren field with a sunset and just thinking like, oh, like, you know, just having that feeling where, yes, it's entertaining, but it's also, it depicts a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and I think the documentary brings up a great point that, you know, nostalgia isn't everything, and sometimes nostalgia can be harmful or misleading. What do you think about that aspect?
Well, definitely the case. I've always tried to resist nostalgia in my own life. So if you're nostalgic, if you're looking back at something that you can learn from, if that's what nostalgia can be, that's a very useful thing. If you're simply living in the past, that's not such a good thing. I saw the movie as a 10-year-old probably in the movie theater, one of the rare times I saw a movie on the big screen at that age. Tagged along with my parents. It was my mother's favorite movie of all time because it reminded her of stories that her parents told her of village life in Russia from that same time period. So I was getting it kind of from that angle, too. Was there nostalgia there? In some ways, this was a very functioning community, a strong community of people who were bound together. The individuality was somewhat repressed, and there was danger lurking around the fence of this tradition. So it's a mixed situation, but if people are honest, every situation was a mixed situation for everybody, for every group. I think also I can say, too, that Fiddler is a way of thinking about being repressed or persecuted because of what you are, not who you are as a person, but what you are as part of a group, what you are as part of some definable collection of people who other people may have some prejudice against. And it plays out well beyond, you know, Jews immigrating to the New World. It plays out with every other immigrant group. It plays out with, you know, sexual orientation, with a great many different kinds of things that people have experienced.
Do you think that this was one of the first musicals to accomplish what the documentary referred to as ethnicity becoming pop culture?
Well, I don't think it was the first time it ever happened. I think of a Andrew Sisters song sung in Yiddish that was a big hit during the 1940s. I mean, you could find examples
Amir
of
Mish
things.
Duchesne.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, so we could sit here and talk about that and find a lot of examples, but I think that Fiddler on the Roof was a sort of turning point in some way, maybe because of the mass appeal of it, the way it sort of filtered into, you know, high school productions. I don't know what year the first high school production was, but I think kind of quickly it went beyond Broadway. It has endured, like the great musicals of earlier in the 20th century, Oklahoma and so on. I mean, it's up there with them as something that's left a very lasting and ongoing impression on people.
The documentary transports you to this early, as you mentioned, like the nerve-wracking early gestation period of this musical. And as someone whose first exposure to it was the movie, I was like, oh, that's right. I suppose it was a Broadway musical first. So do you feel that the subject featured a good scope of insight with the people involved in those early periods? Or would you have preferred to, you know, get the perspectives of people who perhaps were missing?
Well, I think that the director did a good job of finding archival footage and interview footage with many of the key people who are dead now, in looking at, you know, their thoughts in how to creatively take material, which was basically a set of short stories. How do you stage them? Jerome Robbins is key to all of this. He was a great Broadway choreographer and director. He was involved with West Side Story, The King and I, and he was wrestling with a great many things at this point in his life, including his Jewish heritage. He had recently visited the village where his ancestors came from and was deeply moved in some way by that experience. He was also had the situation of being forced to name names during the McCarthy era. He had been at one time a member of the Communist Party or an associate of it, and he was blackmailed because he was a gay man, and he was forced to reveal the names of other members of the Communist Party. So he was dealing with the idea of persecution on three different levels, I guess you could say, in his background. And no, he did not want to make some kind of a depressing sort of a Samuel Beckett musical out of this. He wanted to find a way of communicating the essence and the spirit of all of these experiences. And the documentary, I think, does a great job in simple form of showing us how he did that.
The Yiddish stories of Sholem Aleichem in this documentary, you know, it's touched upon, but I would have liked a bit more examination. Just, I'm not of Jewish heritage, and I didn't even know the musical was based on these things. So
there is a documentary about him that's out there that's available.
Okay. But touching upon those stories, and, you know, the same thing kind of ties along with this documentary for any serious criticism the show may have had or its film adaptation. Do you think there was room for closer examination of going away from just the reverential view? More criticisms?
The downside of Fiddler on the Roof? Well, I don't know exactly what that is. I guess I'm
Which I suppose is the point, yeah.
I'm on in the positive camp. I would imagine we could find negative reviews of it somewhere. I've never looked into how it was initially received by the theater critics of New York. But I think it is very instructive in the movie that Joel Grey, one of the people being interviewed for the film, he was involved in staging a belated Yiddish language version of Fiddler on the Roof, which makes great sense. He was talking about a Japanese friend of his who kept saying that Fiddler on the Roof is her favorite musical. And somewhere along the way, it's because it's so Japanese. So there we have it, I think, that you really don't have to come from the time and place represented in the musical to get something very meaningful out of it.
Storytelling has been among the most meaningful characteristics of not only the Jewish community, but it's a key point in keeping stories alive and keeping tradition alive along the lines of the main theme of Fiddler, and of course a strength. So do you have other films about the Jewish experience that you feel should get some attention or the same attention as Fiddler on the Roof?
Well, it could be a question, I suppose, for a whole episode of
right.
Of our program. I will have to think about it. I mean, the obvious answer is yes, but what would I recommend? I don't know.
Well, in considering the impact that Jewish either composers, writers, directors, producers, like it's Jewish, so ingrained in Hollywood.
Jewish influence on popular music, on Broadway, and on Hollywood is absolutely enormous. And certainly with Broadway and Hollywood, it's almost inconceivable to imagine if Jewish immigration had been blocked somehow in the 19th century, if no Jews had moved to America, if no other immigrants from Eastern or Southern Europe had moved to America, this would be a very different country. It would be one I think I'd be kind of bored to live in, frankly. And, you know, much of what we think of as the great films and the great theater of the last century, certainly, were done with the creative input and under the auspices, in many cases, of Jewish people who got into many of these fields because it was something, especially in the film industry, was a new thing. They may have been blocked into going into more traditional forms of enterprise in America at that time, but film was something that you know, was kind of lower class. It was sort of not, the boundaries hadn't been drawn yet. So there was easy entry there for immigrants. So it's an enormous story. I wonder if there really is one documentary that could tell the whole thing. Really, it's a Ken Burns series that should be made.
I think so.
You'd need to have multiple episodes to really get at the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Fiddler is just one piece of that scope. Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is one of our regular film contributors. He spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski about the documentary Fiddler, Miracle of Miracles. It'll be playing as a part of the Milwaukee Jewish Film Festival this Sunday. You can find out more information about it at wuwm.com.